Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Welcome to the end of the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And this is a pretty funny story. You know, I heard the tagline, the meme, I'll call it, Let's Go Brandon, for the first time when I was in Orlando, actually. And I heard people saying it, but I didn't know what they were talking about. Well, I looked it up when I got back to Jacksonville, and one of the funniest things ever, I'm seeing this guy, and he wins NASCAR, and he's doing an interview, and in the background, the crowd over this live interview is chanting F Joe Biden. Okay, so you can hear, and you know what the F word is, right? So they're saying F Joe Biden, F Joe, and the reporter who is doing the interview says that you can hear the crowds chanting Let's Go Brandon. So I don't know if she was covering up for it or if a producer told her to say that in order to cover up what was actually being chanted or if she just legitimately misheard it. Now, you can hear it clearly through the microphones during the interview. So I don't know how she misheard it, and that's why I think most people who've watched this are of the mindset that she couldn't have misheard it. She was saying it in order to cover up what the noise was, probably assuming that you couldn't fully hear the chant through the microphones. Anyway, the gap between what she said and the reality of what was going on while she said it is just very striking. And I think that this is one of the reasons why this is stuck in people's minds so much. Because that moment sort of typifies the media's defense of the left. And look, you know, it's been there for a while. I remember when the Clintons were running and they called CNN Clinton News Network. But, you know, they didn't do nearly as much covering up and defending and misinterpreting and gaslighting as they do nowadays. Not even close. You know, it's funny because people wish for the days back when there was just simple bias towards the Democrats. Compared to now, where it's outright obvious, where it's not even a cover-up. I mean, journalists were saying that it was part of their civic duty to make sure that the public saw Donald Trump as being a reviled figure. So journalism went from being where you were rewarded socially for being unbiased and being straight down the middle and being a good reporter to where you were socially rewarded for being a bootlicker, a toady. I mean, they don't use those words, of course, but I guess they would say a defender of what is good and what is right. And it's funny how, you know, the bad guy never thinks they're bad. Not in real life, anyway. It seems like so many people just have the mindset of this is the side that I'm on and that I'm going to do whatever I can to help my side. It's almost like a perverted kindness, right? And maybe this is the reason why they see themselves as heroes and they call each other heroes. But when the majority of people do it in public, and this is a case now because the tech companies have boosted up Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and Google and given them so much power that the main voices that are heard through these channels are liberal voices because the conservative voices get banned. I don't know if this is something that's still debatable or not. I mean, it seems like it's beyond obvious at this point. And you can see it in the behavior of people who are on the left. They have no problem. I mean, you remember when Donald Trump was in office, you must recall the viciousness with which he was attacked. And he didn't do things even probably half as bad as what Joe Biden is doing. I mean, they called Donald Trump a dictator, and he didn't give these mandates. He didn't announce mandates, right? He didn't say everybody who gets a government contract has to do this and has to behave this way. He took reporters' questions. My God, he took reporters' questions. He would fight and argue with reporters, sure. But until Jim Acosta physically attacked, well, I don't know if attacked is the right word because I don't want to be like the left and over-exaggerate, but the aide came to take the microphone away from Jim Acosta, and he took his hand and he pushed hers down. He knocked hers away. And that's when Donald Trump was like, no, you don't do that. And he banned Jim Acosta. And then they forced him to allow him back into the press pool. Now, I don't know if forced is the right word. I mean, I'm sure that if he pursued it, he probably could have gotten anybody banned. I mean, look at what Joe Biden is doing. Joe Biden doesn't answer questions. He is calling on reporters off of a list. And they demanded that the questions that they're asked, that they're given those questions ahead of time. Now, I don't know if that's still the case, but I know that at one point that was the case. Remember when Hillary Clinton was running, she was fed the questions by Donna Brazile, and we found this out from the emails. And instead of congratulating the whistleblowers who were able to expose this, you know, we went after them. They claimed that Russia was the reason why Hillary Clinton lost the election. And then they spent years going after Donald Trump for Russian collusion. And of course, those investigations were fruitless. I mean, they had to, after the report came out, they had to say, well, he didn't say he was innocent. They just didn't find out that he was guilty. And the only reason they didn't find out he was guilty is because Trump wasn't forthcoming. Trump didn't admit he was a Russian agent, so we couldn't get him. And we're still finding evidence of a fakery, you know, in these stories that they ran against Donald Trump. I gave you a story a couple of weeks ago that one of Clinton's operatives had to admit that he was still working for the Clintons when he said that he wasn't working for the Clintons. And he pretended that he was just being a good citizen, revealing this connection, this phony connection between Donald Trump, a bank, and Russian, and interactions with Russia. And that connection, which turned out to be false, was used as a basis. One of the pillars of investigating Donald Trump, one of the numerous investigations against Donald Trump. And now that guy is being prosecuted, and he was obviously lying. So they had to create evidence against Donald Trump where they have to cover up evidence for Joe Biden. I mean, they kept saying that laptop was a conspiracy. But then when they shoved a camera in his face and gave him a microphone, even Hunter Biden himself couldn't pretend that that laptop wasn't his. And he was like, well, I don't know. It might be my laptop, but it, you know, it also might be a plant from a Russian agent. I don't know. Now, my dear listeners, you probably think that that sounds ridiculous, don't you? You think it's impossible that Hunter Biden on national TV with a reporter in front of him, when asked if that laptop belongs to him, wouldn't be able to give a coherent answer. Well, let me play the clip for you. Here it is.
Was that your laptop?
For real? I don't know.
I know, but you know that this is.
I really don't know what the answer is.
You don't know yes or no if the laptop was yours.
I don't have any idea. I have no idea.
So could have been yours.
Of course, certainly. It, there could be a laptop out there that was stolen from me. There could be that I was hacked. It could be that it was the that it was Russian intelligence. It could be that it was stolen from me.
You see, it's real. This smarmy, despicable people that you think there's no way that that could be real. That's the clip, and there's video, and you can go on YouTube, and you can look at it. It's right there for you. I like how he panicked, and he said, it could be stolen from me, and he said that twice. No, it wasn't stolen from him. He brought it to a computer store to get it repaired. The computer store owner called Hunter Biden, and Hunter doesn't respond. Well, if you leave your computer at the store after a certain amount of time, it becomes the store's property. So then the owner of the store is the one who is how it got released. And, you know, the desperate attempt at the end to say Russian agents, it's just so pathetic. It's so bad. You know, and these people are in charge of the country. It's not something that I don't think sits very well with the general public, because if you go to the White House's actual YouTube video page, you can see all the videos are thumbed down into oblivion. They wisely don't allow comments on it. Once in a blue moon, they'll forget to disable the comments on it, and the comments are not kind. So it's interesting because, you know, even figures that are disliked don't get as many thumbs down as Joe Biden's videos get. Even Hillary Clinton didn't get this much of a shellacking. And, you know, conservatives really dislike Hillary Clinton. And it's funny because at Hillary Clinton's level of dislike, she was blaming the fact that she was a woman, saying, oh, these are man haters. Woman haters, woman hating men. And they're all coming out against me, and they hate me because I'm an articulate lady. And so then what's the reason for Joe Biden? You know, that's funny, right? Nobody comes out and says, they hate Joe Biden because he's a man. They hate Joe Biden because he's an older man. So an older white man. So people are ageist and sexist and racist against Joe Biden. Nobody makes that argument. Well, I'll make that argument. I'm going to make the argument on behalf of Joe Biden. Poor Joe, if only he was born a woman. If only he was born a woman, then maybe his dislikes wouldn't be so great and his popularity would be much higher. But he had the unfortunate a circumstance of being born a man and being born an older man. He was born old white guy, and now everybody hates him because of it. You know, I just reminded myself that big liberal documentary maker, Michael Moore. I almost said Roger Moore. I'd love to see a documentary by that guy. But Michael Moore wrote a book called Angry White Men. And I credit this book for turning me off to liberalism. This is one of the books that I read that made me go, you know what? I disagree with this philosophy. I do not like this philosophy. I was a big Michael Moore fan back in the day because I liked his, I never saw Roger and Me. I've been wanting to see that for a long time. But from watching the highlights, the previews of that show, I was like, oh, this is a guy who sticks up for the little guy, right? There's a joke in there about Michael Moore not being a little guy himself, but I'll leave the hateful fat jokes aside. But Michael Moore had a TV show, it's the Something Truth, I can't remember the name of it, but it would expose the wrongdoings of these big corporations. And, I mean, sometimes he would make some social commentary. I was like, well, that's kind of dodgy. But for the most part, I thought that was a pretty solid show. Who knows? Maybe I'd look at it now and I'd be like, oh, that was awful. But my memory of it at the time was this is very good. I mean, I remember he exposed once a contact lens maker, and I might not be remembering this correctly, but basically they sold two sets of contact lenses, and they called one thing and they called the other thing. They came off the same manufacturing line. There was no difference between the two, but one was higher priced than the other. And so, you know, that comes off as being like a scam, right? So I was like, oh, I like that he's exposing that kind of stuff. So he had a lot of credit with me. And then I read one of his books. And if I remember correctly, he was exposing a lot of negative things about the Iraq war, and that wasn't in mainstream media, because back then, I mean, come on, guys, you got to admit, back then conservatives were being a little loony with that stuff. And I thought that he had a lot of good points in there, and I couldn't wait to read his next book. And that next book was Angry White Men. And I was reading that book, and I was like, you know, I do not agree with the things that he's saying in here. And I just started, like, question everything, right? And they say that when you get older, you know, you start off as a Democrat, or maybe you start off as a liberal, and then as you get older and you see how the world works, that you become conservative. And that might be true. You know, I see a lot of times online liberals will say things along the lines of, oh, I can't wait until these old conservatives die out and then we can have nice things. But they've been saying that for a long time, and they're going to keep saying that, because as you get older and you realize, oh my goodness, the government really takes a lot of money that belongs to me, and you start to realize that the money and power that we give to the politicians, if we as people kept that power, we would use it a lot more judiciously, in a much better ways than how they squander it. And I think that a big part of things also is, you know, when the Iraq war happened and George Bush said things along the lines of, oh, this will be done in like, you know, 2 weeks, and it'll only cost this much money. And then it goes on forever, and it costs many, many, many times what it was originally supposed to be. And then the original reasons why we went in were dropped, right? They said there were no weapons of mass destruction. And George Bush says on television that Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, and we never insinuated that it did. You know, I think that moment, with along with many others, you know, made people grow up and go, man, this guy can't be trusted. And so you have a lot of people that maybe didn't hear that or weren't aware of the statements that he made, and they still have that ideal of, you know, we're fighting people who hate us and we're trying to make the world safe for democracy. And you have other people who do know what is kind of going on that go, oh, George Bush wasn't that great of a guy. Now I understand why he's, you know, hugging on Michelle Obama and why they're all, you know, getting together and why they love each other. While you have somebody who is an outsider like Donald Trump is despised by both sides. The Democrats, of course, hate him, and many of the Republicans hate him too. And, you know, I've always said that I know conservatives don't want to hear it, but Donald Trump is fairly liberal. Well, maybe I should say he's moderate, right? Donald Trump is a moderate. So he's in no way deserving of the amount of hate that he gets from the left, at least not compared to other presidents that we've had. But now people love the old guard, right? The left loves the old establishment. They saying such nice things about George Bush, W. Bush, saying, oh, I wish we had him back again. You know, I wish for those times again. Are you crazy? But my point is that a lot of the people who had believed blindly in one side or another have gotten older, and they're going, you know what? Donald Trump really was mistreated by both sides. And so, as I've said, I think that the goodwill that people have towards Donald Trump is going to keep going higher and higher and higher. And I think the more that he is kind of out of view, the more favorably people are going to be looking at him. And he is out of view. I mean, yeah, he holds rallies still, but they don't broadcast them. Not that I've seen, not on regular networks. He's banned off of Twitter, which is astonishing that you would have the nuts to ban a president off of your platform. I mean, and a platform that he was famous for interacting with. You know, you would think that would be such a boon, you know, to your network. But no, they kicked him off. I mean, what if he went to Gab or to some other network? I mean, you would be poorer for that. Now, Donald Trump is starting his own network, and it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a Twitter alternative, basically. I think that's a good thing. They were making fun of him because they're like, oh, they hacked his network already. They didn't hack his network. They found a sign up page and then they signed up as Donald Trump and Mike Pence. And, you know, you're allowed to put any name that you want to, but that's not hacking. That's not like getting into the code or getting somebody's password or something like that. I mean, that's just being a jerk. If I go to Jack Dorsey's company, Twitter, and I sign up on Twitter as the real Jack Dorsey, and then I say a bunch of dumb things. I mean, did I hack Twitter? No, I'm just being stupid. All right, so let's wrap all this up together here. People dislike Joe Biden even more than they disliked Hillary Clinton. I think that most Americans, no matter what they say in the press, I think most people don't believe that Joe Biden won the election and got more votes than Barack Obama. I don't think people believe that. And I feel that this is the reason why this meme, Let's Go Brandon, has become so popular. And it is popular. It occupies the top three of the top five on iTunes chart. There's a really funny article written by, I think the guy's name is Roger Friedman, and he basically writes, Adele is booming on radio but got knocked off of iTunes by this, you know, stupid pro-Trump, anti-Biden song. And it's so funny. I only read the first few lines of the article, but it's funny because he's basically crying about how this insipid song, this insipid anti-Joe Biden song knocked Adele off. And he's like, but Adele will be up, you know, I'm sure over the next couple of days. Nope. And as a matter of fact, there's three Let's Go Brandon songs on the top five of iTunes. And there's more in the total top 10 than that. So that's pretty funny. And, you know, all the reasons I just mentioned are part of why the meme is so popular. But there was a song called F Donald Trump. It also hit number one on iTunes, but it wasn't as successful, even though it was more touted in the media. Why is that? Why weren't the F Donald Trump songs more successful than they were? I think a lot of the reason they were successful is because of shock value. Like, wow, you know, somebody is saying this about the president of the United States. But they had all this help from media outlets. Whereas, and I saw a nice contrast, Slate magazine wrote a positive article about the song. And they, where there's a negative slanted one against the Let's Go Brandon songs. And I think another component of this is because that phrase encapsulates what is wrong with what has been happening with the left, in that the reporter representing the establishment tells us that it's sunny when it's raining. You can hear what the crowd is saying. You can hear them chanting F Joe Biden. And yet she tells us that they're saying, Let's Go Brandon. I mean, think about this, guys. You know, the song, some of the versions of the song have been banned. And the explanation given was because it gave COVID misinformation. I mean, come on. What a flimsy excuse to ban a song. Like, every song out there has factual information in it, right? It's entertainment. So the fact that the right didn't even come up with a phrase. So they're taking a phrase that a establishment toady, or what's perceived as one, said. So you're just taking what was said and throwing it back in their face. There's no curse words in it, but everybody knows what it means. And it's hilarious. There was even a congressman wearing it on a mask, and they're so mad at him. Are you kidding me? After all that they've done to Donald Trump over the last, you know, over his presidency, and then they're going to pretend like they're angry about it. It's ridiculous. But it's really funny, too. Guys, thanks for listening to me. I'm the Ed Man. This is the How to Kill an Hour radio show. We'll do it again next week. Have a good one, everybody. Oh, Let's Go Brandon.